Chime in. Thanking Reagan for reading our scripture. Thank you, Reagan. I wanted them to clap, and I didn't know if they would clap for me, but I thought they might clap for you. So you're my pawn. I'm aware that you would like to hear a sermon not about wonder. Not today. Because wonder never ends. God never ends. God is a wonder, and the wonder is never through with you. And I realize that it sounds awful to be in heaven for 10,000 years singing the grace of God. I understand. But the point is that if we were in God's presence, even for 10,000 years, the wonder would not stop. We'd never fully get it. It's that good. It keeps going. And so today, we'll keep going, full of wonder. Painey Hunter, 16 years old, probably said her name wrong, Painey Hunter from England, every day walked across the Bournemouth Bridge in Sunderland, England, northeast England. To school, to work, to the store, to see friends. People walk and drive this bridge every day. It's the center of the city. And like our city and like the world, this community has been facing a mental illness crisis. And unfortunately, some who feel alone, some who feel lost, some who deal with uncontrollable pain will use this bridge to try to end their pain. And Painey, overwhelmed with this, decided to post notes of hope and love and encouragement all the way across her bridge. One read, "That I know that our world is dark, but you are a light in it. Hold on." If you have a copy of Scripture, if you got one of those cute little worship orders, we've given you the Scripture today. And the center of our Scripture today, as Reagan so wonderfully read, is to be filled with the Spirit. I think Painey's work is a beautiful example of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Now, there's some things you need to know about me. For 7 years at Bonnier Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia, I did some dumb things. I messed up a lot. And the pastor search committee did not advertise that to you because they assumed more would be coming. Right? Let me give you some examples. I told a group of volunteers that everything in a given closet was trash because it looked like trash, it smelled like trash, and it was stored like trash. So if we could kindly throw it away, that would be great. And so these wonderful volunteers threw it away. Then I learned that some women were going to have my head on a spike because we had thrown away some music that was out of print, and we were using it that Sunday. I have never told Allison how much money I spent to buy that music and have it overnighted to our home. Hopefully Eva can go to college someday. I had a group of young guys, mostly college students and one deacon, all guys. So getting all the details together was like herding cats, barn cats, if you will. And we were all ready to go to Haiti. We're on a work trip, work crew. And right before we left, I realized that it was my passport that was expired. These are the little things as examples. One of the things that I did that I never really fully lived down there, I'd like to tell you about today. I made a confession, and I'd like to make that confession to you. They say that a wise person learns from their mistakes. Well, I wouldn't know. I'd like for you to know something about me, and I hope this bridges a gap between pastor and friend. For most of my conscious life, if not all of my spiritual life, I have struggled. I have been largely incapable of understanding what the Spirit is. Our God, three in one, one in three. And I was two for three. Creator, check. Savior, check. Spirit, huh? Two for three. If this were baseball, those are Hall of Fame sort of numbers. But this isn't baseball because baseball is boring. And God, it's the gospel, okay? It's not me. I don't come up with this stuff. God is not boring. You know, those of us who are joyful, the old curmudgeons in the crowd, they really just drive us crazy. Those of us who are silly, the serious folks can really drive us crazy. Those of us who are burnt out, have you ever been burnt out? Being around someone who's fired up, jacked up, and ready to go drive us nuts. And my deficiencies with understanding and experiencing the Spirit had become a shadow and a place of contempt. I struggled so much with the Spirit, and I know that none of you would ever have this struggle. None of you would ever do this to another person. But I struggled so much with the Spirit that if you were to amen or hallelujah too loud or just right, it drove me nuts. That if you were to use certain buzzwords like born again, I'd be like, what are you talking about? See, my deficiency became a shadow and a place of contempt. In our scripture this morning, the entire thing builds to the middle, which is to be filled with the Spirit. But it begins with, in verse 15, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Many translations say, be careful then how you walk. This word translated live or translated walk is a compound word, Greek word, peripateo, meaning of or by foot. You see, in antiquity, the setting of the Bible, most could hardly even afford footwear, much less a horse or a donkey. Walking was intricately connected with living. So for those of you who are new to this earth, for those of you who turn 16 and receive a car, walking is a former form of transportation. Some of you may remember what it means to have walked to school, walked to work, and walked home. Some of you have lied about that distance to your family. Be careful then how you walk. What bridge are you walking across every day to work, to school, to the store, and to see friends? And see, I have become convinced that to live by the Spirit is to be paying attention as you walk across that bridge. The very first words of Jesus in the book of Mark, he says, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is here. Some translations say that the kingdom of God has come near. Other translations say that the kingdom of God is at hand. But I would like to submit to you my translation. For the kingdom of God is an ocean. Hang with me for just a moment, and let's pretend that we're at the beach. Can I get an amen? Amen. Who wants to go on vacation? Only 1 week of school, and we need it. Pretend that you're standing on the beach, and we're facing the ocean, walking towards the ocean. No swimwear, comfy shirt or sweater if you're my wife. Shirt, no shoes. Walking towards the ocean, you come across that very sacred transition where the fluffy sand becomes a little bit more firm because the wind and the waves have washed out and washed back up. Stand there with me for just a moment. And as we're standing, the smallest of wave rushes up over our feet. Not over our ankles, just over our feet. And if you've ever stood there, you know that as this happens, you sink in just a little bit deeper. And you sink out towards the ocean. Just a little bit more. This is the kingdom of God. For in this moment when the wave rushes up, you are in the ocean. The kingdom of God is at the tips of your toes. What bridge are you walking across every day? To be filled with the Spirit is to walk, not as unwise, but as wise, with your head up, looking for the pain, looking for the hurt, looking for the need, looking for the places in which the Spirit might have you not speak in tongues, but speak words of hope. The text continues in verse 16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. The days are evil? Other than Monday, the days are evil? Message translation beautifully says, make the most of every opportunity because these are desperate times. My family is fancy, so they took us to the Caribbean once. They also took us to the Caribbean, same trip. Isn't that cool? So we did this, you know, we did what you do. We were tourists, you know, and they give you the matching vest or whatever, and we went snorkeling, right? So have you been snorkeling? I've done the touristy snorkeling thing. I've never been scuba diving. I don't know if I want to go. We do have life insurance. But I've been introduced to this new sport known as free diving. And maybe you're familiar with this, but people unassisted, without oxygen tanks, without gear, and dive down deep to see how far they can go, hundreds of feet deep, hundreds of meters deep even, which meters, if you don't remember, are bigger than feet. And they see how long they can stay down there. And it's a very dangerous sport. The deeper you go, the higher the risk. The longer you stay down, the higher the risk. And one of the things about scuba diving and free diving that blows my mind is it is really dangerous to go down deep. And it's also really dangerous to come up. The way you come up, you have to come up very carefully, which reminds me of our lives. Like an iceberg, there is so much of us below the surface. And as you go deeper, the pressure increases. As you go deeper, oxygen is depleted, or I don't know, something scientific, but there's less oxygen the deeper you go. The people on the bridge that you're walking to work and to school, they are living down deep with tremendous pressure and a lack of oxygen. To live by the Spirit is to speak words of hope to these people. To live by the Spirit is to come alongside of these people. To live by the Spirit might mean that you and I come up from the depths and share a little bit about who we are. Not just the iceberg beneath, but that we might share truly who we are. This is what it means to live by the Spirit. You see, for most of my life, I was looking for the Spirit in the eternal and in the ethereal up here. But I was missing it because it was right in front of me. I was missing it because it was washing up on my feet. Your barista who just messed up your order, even though it's just black coffee, is living with tremendous pressure. That barista is wondering how he or she will pay the bills. To live by the Spirit is to engage that person as a wonder, to engage that person as a thou, to realize that that person has so much going on underneath the surface, that there is so much pressure that we can never fully grasp it. To live by the Spirit is to join with this church and advocate for young women who are trapped in a system and a culture of prostitution. To live by the Spirit is to sacrifice one lunch hour a week to tutor, hang out with, say words that you don't know what they mean, like bet, to kids at school. This is what it means to live by the Spirit. Now, I want to address what we're all wondering. Is he going to talk about alcohol? I'm a good Baptist, which means I don't talk about alcohol with other Baptists. And as a good Baptist, I have concerns about this group of people. I've been to some of your socials. The prohibition about alcohol in this text is not about alcohol at all. It's about what are you filled with? Don't be filled with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with your ego. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with your sports team. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with your employment status or your salary or your car or your house. Be filled with the Spirit. You see, even our friends in AA know that alcohol is not the problem, it's the symptom. Be filled with the Spirit. What bridge are you walking across this week? Who around you could use words of hope? Your neighbors, your coworkers, people in your family are running out of oxygen because they've been living down deep where there is tremendous pressure. To be filled with the Spirit is to make the most of every opportunity as you walk across that bridge. Let's pray together. Lord, indeed, it is some of us who have been down deep for too long. Help us to come back up. Only by your grace. Lord, our brothers, our sisters, our co-workers, our neighbors are living with tremendous pressure and they're running out of air. To be filled with the Spirit is to see them, to encourage them, to walk alongside of them across the bridge. Help us to follow you. Help us to see your people. We pray all of this in the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the real, true, mysterious, wondrous Holy Spirit. Amen.